during the height of the lockdowns last year, my other half and I spent a lot of time binging this Next Man show. Now, a lot of people, I'm sure, binged Hollywood Netflix productions, but we were absolutely addicted to The Gourmet Farmer. It was available on SBS On Demand. So it's a great pleasure to have him on the line, unfortunately, from Tasmania. He's meant to be in Cairns, but we'll get to that in a minute. Matthew Evans, welcome to The King Review.
Thanks so much for having me, Gavin.
Now, you were, of course, meant to be here as a keynote speaker at a soil science conference, because you've got a new book out, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I did want to touch on Gourmet Farmer. It was such a huge success.
Yeah, it's a very weird. We, you know, I was a newbie buying a little farm in southern Tasmania and having a crack at growing stuff and rearing stuff. And it was sort of amazing, the response. I guess part of it is showing people that the only people who don't make mistakes don't make anything. So we were sort of proud to show our mistakes and our learning curves. But I think, you know, the response from the public is you know, overwhelming. And it's such a quiet show. It's sort of the antithesis of sort of the hype of most television, and yet people seem to get it, which is really heartwarming.
There was something about the show, Matt, that, and I don't know whether you heard this, I'd be interested to know whether you did, but during that COVID lockdown, it seemed like The Gourmet Farmer was a real, I don't know, soothing balm for our times. Did you get any of that feedback, that it was popular, even though we were a couple of years late to the series, that it was popular, particularly last year at the height of those lockdowns?
Yeah, like I got an inkling of it, I guess. We all seem to be quite living in our own little worlds, and particularly when you live in southern Tasmania, quite removed from the rest of the world. But yeah, I guess what happened was that people got interested in their immediate environment. Say, can you grow something? You know, where does the food you eat come from? How is it reared? And people started to, I guess, look at those fundamentals and think, you know, they're actually what really matters. You know, we can't do our overseas trip or our, you know, do the things we used to do, but maybe we can reconnect with the things that really matter, that make us happy as individuals, and put healthy food on the plates of our loved ones and friends.
Your latest endeavour is called Soil, the incredible story of what keeps the earth and us healthy. The book is released next week. Talk to us about that passion. During the Gourmet Farmer series, I remember you had a soil expert, a soil scientist on the show. She visited your farm. I think it was Fat Pig Farm. She compared some healthy soil to your rather unhealthy soil. Was that the genesis of where this passion for this topic comes from?
Yeah, I think what happened, it was a big turning point for me. I think what happened was, anyone who grows food, whether you've got a backyard garden or 100 acres, you know, you become interested in why things grow the way they do. And then this woman came to our farm, and she looked under at our soil under a microscope and couldn't see much living stuff. And then she showed me that, and then she showed me her soil from a more productive, more fertile soil, and was billions of living things. Like there were so many living things in soil, and I had no clue that the land that we walked upon is this living, breathing ecosystem.
I think in the book you talk about, tell listeners about a teaspoon of soil. I remember reading in the early parts of the book about a teaspoon of soil.
Yeah, these sort of facts blow my mind, and I think that's why soil is a little bit underrated or undervalued, because so much is invisible. But in a teaspoon of healthy soil, there can be more living things than there are humans on the planet. So there can be up to 10 billion living things in a teaspoon of healthy soil. That sort of stuff, it seems impossible, but we know it to be true because we've now got the technology to measure it. And I think what it reaffirms is what our ancestors knew, is that the earth is alive, and the more alive it is, the better it feeds us and the more delicious the food is that we get from it. But now we can look down electron microscopes and do DNA analysis and say, this is how many individual little things are there. And they don't work on their own. They work in concert, in tandem with each other, to create the conditions where a plant can live its best life, and plants then become, you know, the food source for us, or the food source for the things that we're going to eat, like cattle or sheep.
It was a very stark comparison, wasn't it? You mentioned there about the soil scientist who was featured in one of the episodes of The Gourmet Farmer. Even as a watcher, it was quite incredible to see almost dead soil next to very healthy soil. Talk to us about the journey, I guess, from that moment or that realization several years ago now to the point where you are so passionate. you're so into soil that you've decided to write an incredible, really beautifully written book. How did you get to this point?
Yeah, I think what happened was I became besotted with soil, this idea of what's in soil and why it matters. And so when I sort of started to dig into it, I started to discover that soil isn't, yes, it grows 98% of the calories that humans eat. So, pretty much we'd all die out if we didn't have topsoil. We kind of know that. But then I also found these other things about it, like soil microbes, the living things in soil can create rain. They can fly up into the clouds and form the genesis of rain. There are microbes in soil that when we inhale them or when we eat them, they make us happy. They release happy hormones in our body. They act as an antidepressant. I mean,
incredible.
How beautiful
incredible.
Is that? They inoculate our immune system, so they make our immune system better than if we aren't exposed to soil. We are designed to be around living, healthy soil, and it only makes us better people, makes us feel better, makes us healthier, makes the food that we grow more nutrient-dense.
And if you have a look back, Matthew, I guess recent years or decades, where kids don't seem to be playing in the dirt as much as they used to be. How does that all pan out? Is that a concern for you?
Yeah, that's a huge concern. I did something with a charity called Mother's Babies, where I was talking to some researchers who are trying to get the best immune system into children, newborn children. And part of that is through the parents, the dad to some extent, the mum a large extent. But a lot of it is, are children exposed to soil, to dirt, from day one in those first few weeks, months, and years? That's the pivotal sort of time, is early on. And the less they're exposed to soil, the more compromised their immune system can be. So you can end up with more asthma, more dermatitis, more autoimmune diseases, where allergies and all that kind of thing. And it helps to explain this explosion in allergies because people seem to be afraid of dirt,
absolutely,
afraid of healthy soil. Mm. And when it's actually doing us, we're designed to be around it. Humans have always had soil in their lives, and it's only in the last generation or two we've managed to separate ourselves from the ground beneath our feet.
During COVID, we saw around the world really an explosion in interest in plants, particularly people in apartments in capital cities. They don't get to experience the beautiful outdoors the way perhaps that you do in Tasmania or we do here in the tropical north. And soil, obviously was a part of that. You needed to have healthy soil to grow your pot plants in your apartment in the big cities. Does that give you some confidence that it was almost a yearning or a return to nature? Does that give you some hope in terms of people's interest in the book and the importance of soil?
Yeah, it gives me great hope. I think what has happened is we have separated ourselves from the thing that nourishes us. I think what we're seeing is a readjustment, a realignment, where people go, hang on, what actually is important? What do I really want my life to do and mean? There's a lot of things that we do are shallow, and that's fine for part of your life. But I think a lot of people want meaning, and I think, you're caring for soil, whether it's a pot plant or, a raised garden bed or something bigger, a garden, gives you purpose and it gives you meaning, even better than purpose, And so you're doing something that's good for your body, it's good for your mind, it's good for your immune system, and it's ultimately good for putting dinner on the table. So, it's kind of win-win-win if you get interested in this kind of stuff.
Your book, Soil, who is it for? I mean, if they're the average Joe and Jill out in the suburbs listening today, they obviously don't live on a farm, they may not be a chef or interested in the provenance of food. Is the book for everyone? Is it a science nerds type of book? How would you describe the audience?
Yeah, what I've tried to do is I guess, take science and make it more palatable. So yes, there's a bit of science in it, but it's for everybody. It's for everyone who eats, essentially, because soil is so precious, but it's also we're losing it at rates previously unheard of. We're losing a soccer pitch of soil every 5 seconds around the globe. And soil, the magic bit, this thin, you know, 1 centimetre, 5 centimetres, 10 centimetres, whatever it is in your part of the world, that does all of the world's growing. Australia has lost half its topsoil on its growing land, its farmland, in a bit over 200 years since white people arrived. And the next half we're going to lose in the next 40 to 50 years. And it doesn't take a math genius to work out that this is important. So my book is trying to get everybody to care about soil and to love soil and be interested in its fate, because the repercussions of not caring about soil will affect us all, whether it's the weather, the climate, the food on our plates. Everything is affected by topsoil.
Do you face a similar challenge here to climate change? And I mean in the sense that we know the science, we know what needs to be done to address climate change, and yet for a lot of people it seems so far in the distance, it seems so far into the future, we're not immediate, or at least for the most part, we're not immediately under some kind of threat. And when you talk about those massive numbers that you've just mentioned, the loss of soil, extraordinary loss of soil, Is that a challenge in getting people engaged and passionate in this issue, in that it doesn't seem like an immediate problem when you're walking down the street or going about your day-to-day business?
Yeah, look, I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And I think that's one of the great motivators for me to write the book, is because I really want people to care. And it doesn't mean you have to be obsessed with it. You don't have to be a soil scientist. You don't have to be a farmer. You don't have to be a market gardener. But just to care about its fate and to think of ways that we can all nourish soil around us. So, you know, the thing is that every bit of soil is important, whether it's a pot plant, you know, whether it's your rose garden, every bit of soil is important. And so we can all contribute to the to soil. If you think about it, what I like to think about is we've built on about an area about the size of Western Europe around the world. So all the cities and roads would cover enough land to cover Western Europe. And it's all land that used to be good for growing stuff. But it's not been taken out of growing completely. So within those spaces, within urban areas, in your backyard, on building, you know, the tops of buildings now, you know, in vacant lots, you can grow food, or you can grow a garden. It doesn't have to be food. It could be flowers or just trees, something to give us visceral pleasure. And every bit of that soil we should value, because the more we look after soil, the more it's going to be doing us and the climate and, you know, the world good.
Is there anything you'd like to see people do on a practical level? They're living in the suburbs. What would you like to see them do to really help change the landscape, really?
Yeah, well, there's some good regenerative farmers, or farmers who sort of try to put soil at the top of their list. And there's a movement around. You'll find some of the supermarkets now are sort of getting into this idea of regenerative farmers. So farmers who look after landscapes. So they're looking after soil, which regenerates landscapes, essentially, is how to think of that. But it is that thing of can you buy off someone you know, can you swap with your neighbour who has a garden? You know, they look after your chooks when you're on holidays, and you know, and you get paid in vegetables or something. You pay them in vegetables or whatever the deal is. The more you can know the source of your produce and know where it comes from, the more you can support soil. But I think the most important thing is first of all, to care about soil, to understand that. Over half the antibiotics used in human medicine had their genesis in soil. You know, this isn't soil's not evil. Soil is on our side, and we have to look after it for it to look after us. So if we care about it, that's the first thing. And then if we have it in our control, you know, through our purchasing or through our own gardening and growing habits, the better decisions we make to look after soil, the better it is for us and for the world.
Are politicians and governments across the importance of soil? Are we doing enough at a political and government level to tackle some of the many issues you raise in the book?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a really interesting question, because no, we're not. But it is on the agenda, and that's what's really interesting. It's the federal government had some funding for soil testing for the growers and farmers so they can care for the soil. So, you know, farmers, you know, we think of ourselves as owning the land, but really we're just caretakers for a moment in geological time, and someone else will have the land later, and we're looking after a national asset. So I think there is movement in this direction. I just spoke to the West Australian Agriculture Minister, rang me and wanted to talk to me about some stuff in the book, that because you know they're worried about their topsoils and how they're going to feed, how they're going to grow food into the future, not necessarily just to feed their population, but they're great exporters and they need to nourish their soils to be able to, you know, maintain their economy. So yes, there is movement, there are people interested. Globally, there are people interested, but I think it's just the start of the change. And it's this, I think we're at a moment where people are saying, you know what, we used to just, if we buggered up a piece of soil, we'd move to the next piece. Well, now they're looking at growing, you know, they just germinated a seed on the moon. We ain't moving to the moon. We ain't moving to Mars anytime soon. And we risk turning the land we've got into a moonscape unless we look after it. And I think we're at this moment where people are realising that and are about to make big decisions that are going to really benefit the soil that we have.
Matthew Evans, of course, you were meant to be in Cairns, a keynote speaker at a soil science conference here at the Cairns Convention Centre. Are you disappointed you missed out on visiting our beautiful part of the world?
I'm gutted. I mean, I did part of me as things were going a bit pear-shaped. I thought, I'm going to be locked down in Cairns. Fantastic, you know. Or not locked down, at least locked out of Tassie in Cairns, you know, for the winter. That'll be good. I had my shorts packed, had my Hawaiian shirt packed, you know. I was going to borrow some thongs. Man, I'm devastated. I mean, really, really wanted to get up there, but maybe later in the year.
Well, compared to Tassie at the moment, it's probably a chilly, you know, 24, 25 degrees here in Cairns. So you're really lucked out there. Matthew Evans, the new book, Soil, The Incredible Story of What Keeps the Earth and Us Healthy, is available next week. I'm looking here online. The book is available next week. Absolutely fantastic and very important read. But also, I think, as you said, it is relevant to anyone. It's so beautifully written, engaging, interesting, not too scientific, nerdy, but it's a really important work. Matthew Evans, thanks for your time on the King Review today.
Pleasure. Thanks so much for having me. I love it when people get excited about soil, Gavin. Cheers. Thank you. See ya.